Minehead Baptist Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, the 4th of October 2020. Hello and welcome. Thank you once again for joining me. My name's James and I'm the web guy here at NBC. This week, Richard spoke on Rejoice in the Lord Always. The reading is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 to 22. So we'll go and join Richard as he's introducing the service.
Well, good morning and welcome to our service this morning on what I can only describe as a rather damp and miserable day. I've just about dried off from walking down the road. Just a couple of notices this morning. There's a former church member called Ray Mayfield who has sadly passed away. I'm sure he was known to some of you. And he was 95. So we'll pray for him and his family in a moment. And the other notice is there is someone from the Hope Centre. Be very helpful if anyone had a spare TV that they would be able to donate to them. So speak to myself or Paul if that is something you think you could be able to help with. So shall we pray? Father, we come this morning to worship you, to spend time in your presence, and to hear you speak to us. And Father, we pray for the family of Ray, that in this time they would know your hand of comfort and support. And we thank you, Lord, for the life of Ray. Amen. So our first... Oh, and just to say, we do have communion later in the service. So if you're at home, you still have time to find some bread and a liquid of some description. Water or wine or whatever you have to hand. But now Sue is going to lead us as we sing In Christ Alone. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you that we can gather here and gather online to worship you and spend time with you. And Father, we pray for our church family, Lord, those people who are having tests in hospital and operations. We lift them up to you now, Lord. And we pray that you would be with them through everything. We pray, Lord, for those suffering from grief, Lord. We pray that they would know your comfort and know that you are always there for them. We pray, Lord, for the world around us. We pray, Lord, for the US presidential elections with this new hiccup this week. We pray, Lord, for a safe and free election, that you might speak into that country, Lord. And Lord, we pray for our own government as they continue to battle with how best to control coronavirus. We pray that you would guide their hands and thoughts. We pray, Lord, for all those students who are off to university. We pray for Ellie, who today is off to Oxford. We pray that you might keep her safe. We pray, Lord, that your church here might be filled with your Spirit. Come and fill us, Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Now, Paul is going to come and talk to us, and I've just seen what he looks like, so you'll have a nice surprise in a moment.
Oh, hello. Oh, hello. That wasn't kind of an invitation for you to say hello back. Hello there, out there. How are you doing, all our younger kind of guys out there? It's really, really good to see you. Ordinarily, you get Mark. Mark's taking Ellie today to University at Oxford. So all of our youth church, can I invite you to pray for Ellie, for Mark, and for Sally? As Mark said, it'll be the first time in a number of years where there's just been him and Sally at home. I want to ask you to pray for Sally, but that's another story. And can I ask you to pray for Millie, who also might have been here, but for the fact she's broken her leg. And we just want to pray for her healing. So if I can ask you to pray for that, that'd be really good. Do you know, I really want a party. You might have gathered that. I really want a party today. I've got these amazing balloons. The pink one's fallen off, but apart from that, all is good. I'm so glad I came here today. And there's good reasons to party as well in this church. You know, recently we've just had two folk that have reached a birthday with an O in it. Ooh, how about that? I won't say how old, because one of them's a lady. But Dave Bond and Debbie Ward have both reached one of those birthdays with an O in it. How about that? Can't tell you Debbie's, can tell you Dave's is 60. And they were born in the same year. But apart from that, I can't tell you how old Debbie is. But happy birthday to both of you. I'm so glad I came here. And I'm so glad you came here too. I want to celebrate. I want some help, really. I wonder, in these times of the COVID virus, how do you reckon we do that at home? How do we celebrate together? I've got an idea. If you're at home, can I ask you to do something for me? Can you go and find something wherever you are that will make the most annoying noise ever? Off you go. There's a lot of parents out there that are now panicking. You can find something to make noise with. That would be brilliant, okay? And if you're here at NBC in a minute, I'm going to ask if you could get ready, rattle your keys in a while, clap your hands, stamp your feet, and then right at the end, we're going to ask you to pop a party popper. Got that? Are we all ready? See the hat? See these balloons? See the party poppers? Why do you think I'm here today? Is it because it's someone's birthday? Are we celebrating those big zero birthdays? No. It's not my birthday, so why for me is today so special? You know, Paul writes a letter to a church in Philippi. And in Philippians, chapter 4, verse 4, he says this: rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I'll say rejoice. It doesn't say rejoice when you're on holiday, when you're celebrating your birthday, when you're sometimes feeling happy, or there's some things going on. He tells us to rejoice and celebrate always. How can we do that? Wonder what would happen if we rejoiced always. Do you know, rejoicing is a bit like laughter. It is really infectious. Just to show you how infectious it is, both laughter and rejoicing, I wonder, at home and in the church, can you just watch this short video with me? Ha ha ha! it was lovely just to sort of hear some people smile through their masks, because you could hear one or two chuckling along with the chap on the train here. And I'm sure that's true of some of you at home, really. Rejoicing and laughter are infectious. That means that Paul tells us we should rejoice even on the boring days, on the days when not a lot's happening, even rejoicing on the days when things are not going our way. We should rejoice in the Lord always, because he loves us, he's provided for us, and he's protected us, and he's promised to be with each of us. Pretty amazing, isn't it, that we can rejoice even on the days when we don't feel like it. And that gives us a reason every single day, and I mean every single day, to rejoice. So we're going to make some celebration noise, some joyful noise now. So off, we're going to 1, 2, 3, start. Okay. Then at home, you're going to make as much noise as you can. If you're in this church, you'll make, please make as much noise as you can. Please don't shout or use your voice, but that'd be really good. And here, we're going to let off a load of party poppers. And yes, to those that clean the church, I realise I've got to clean the church afterwards if I ask you to do this. But nonetheless, it's worth it to celebrate together. So ready, we're going to celebrate and rejoice together as loud as you can at home or here. After three. 1, 2, 3. Have a brilliant day, everybody. See you soon. It's good to rejoice, and even if your party popper doesn't go off, I expected a bigger R than that, actually. It's good to rejoice in the Lord always, no matter what the circumstances. And we're reminded of that as we sing a hymn that has been sung in this church for many, many years. But it reminds us that we have a Lord, and we should praise his name and rejoice in him. We're going to sing Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven. If you're here, you're allowed to sing in your mask, if that's okay, but not too loudly. But you can sing and praise the Lord with me.
Praise my soul, the King.
Good morning. Our reading this morning is taken from the Epistle to the Thessalonians, and chapter 5, and verse 12. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, and verse 12. And the title is Final Instructions and Benedictions. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them with very high honor in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Amen.
Thank you, Martin. Shall we pray? Father, thank you for your word here. We pray now, Lord, that the words that I speak now are from you, and that you would speak through me now. Amen. So the most famous verse probably in this passage says simply, rejoice always. A verse that is almost the shortest in the Bible. Jesus wept, I think, is by letters, but this is not far off. And this suggests that those medieval scholars who put the verses in found an importance in these two words. But it is not, as ever in the Bible, quite as simple as just that. There is more to it. If I was to just tell you all to rejoice, I suspect, and it is admittedly a strong suspicion, that many of us would find that rather difficult. We could probably rejoice, and hopefully can rejoice at least occasionally, but to do so always is, I would argue, impossible. This passage, though, gives us some indication of how we can do just that. To rejoice always, or as Paul says, or Paul spoke about in Philippians, to rejoice in the Lord always. So this chapter in one commentary, discussing this passage was entitled Christian Community, or How to Be a Gospel Church, which is a fairly good summary, I think, of what it contains. This is indeed what the first part of the passage shows us, how to be one community. The phrase used repeatedly throughout this passage is brothers and sisters. It's used 4 or 5 times, speaking into that New Testament idea that the church of God is one family with God as the Father. We are meant to be together, which is, of course, a bit of a challenge at the moment. Some of us are gathered here in person, and some more will be gathered on Thursday, but yet more are together online, but at the same time, strangely apart. But we are meant to be a community under God, to share with each other in the ups and downs of life. Verses 12 and 13 in this passage are considered by most commentators, or at least the two I read, and they didn't seem to present any other arguments, to be a reference to the role of the pastor. But the sentiments and ideas contained within them could just as easily, and can just as easily, be extended to all those who work for the Lord. And let's not forget that we are, in fact, a priesthood of all believers. We are all called to serve God. Paul and I may have titles. That's the Paul sitting at the back over there, not the apostle. We may have titles that call us ministers. But what we do in that is no more important than any other works for the Lord. The Apostle Paul here encourages us to recognize those who work hard among us, to hold them in the highest regard and love, and live in peace, we are told. Something that can be incredibly difficult for us to live out, particularly as we are not always particularly good at recognizing a lot of the work and things that happen in church. As you go through different stages of church leadership, you begin to realize how much goes on that you simply had no idea about. I have been in Minehead now for a little over 8 months, somehow. Not quite sure how it's got there, but it has. And I still occasionally discover a ministry that existed and exists within the church that I didn't know about. Obviously, a lot of them aren't happening at the minute. But they, of course, are only what you might call, and I don't really like the term, but the official ministries of the church. Those bits that send in a report for the annual report and have a budget. But, of course, the ministry of the church does not just stop there. So much goes on behind the scenes or in different parts of the church. During this time of lockdown, I know there have been hundreds, probably thousands of calls within the church checking up on people and finding out how they are, most of which we will never know anything about. Indeed, I only know about one of them because I was visiting someone on Thursday and someone phoned while I was there. Yet that is one part of what makes us a community. All those different connections that draw us together, built upon, of course, the bedrock of us being brothers and sisters in Christ. For that is what we are. We find this vision built upon further in the following verses. Interestingly, this passage is thought to have been addressed to the normal members of the congregation, those not in leadership, placing an emphasis on the fact that it is for everyone to look out for each other. Encourage the disheartened, help the weak, be patient with everyone, especially those who are idle or destructive. Not just, I suppose I'll deal with them because I'm meant to, but actually, especially those people. Strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. These verses could almost be seen as the rule book, the manifesto for how we as members of Christ's church should act, both internally to each other, but externally as well, to those around us, however we come into contact with them. And if we did these things, would we not truly be examples of God's love to those around us? Paul is encouraging us to be a community of mutual comfort, encouragement, forbearance, and service. It is this, I would argue, that allows us to have some hope of rejoicing always. To try and go it alone in life rarely works. I think that has hit home in the last 6 months. That we want to interact and spend time with people. For those of us who know God, of course, we never walk alone. He walks alongside us. But we also have more in the form of this wonderful community we call the church. Now, I've said rejoice always is not an easy command. And there is a strong argument that to be made that it should really read rejoice in the Lord always. And I'd argue that this is what Paul is calling us to. To remember who is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. We should also rejoice in each other. Rejoice as we get to know each other. Rejoice as we serve together. And rejoice that as the family of God, we can rejoice in our love and devotion to one another. But rejoicing in the Lord always is not always that easy a thing to do. We struggle when things happen that we can't quite comprehend how God would allow us to do those things, or God would allow those things to happen. Yet there has to be some part of us that says, if we remember that God loves us unconditionally, and we have the support of those around us, surely it becomes just that little bit more possible to rejoice in the Lord. I can remember moments in my life where simply remembering the awesome power and love of God has brought a smile to my face and cheered up my entire day I'm sure I'm not alone. But God has given us a wonderful gift. And this is in many ways also a command for our public worship. What we're doing here today, even in this slightly strange way, to be joyful, something that is still possible now. And pray continually, a command that in many ways needs little more to be said about it. Paul writes it again and again in his letters to the churches, but certainly one that needs repeated. We are called to pray and not give up, to pray for the church, the community, and indeed the world. One of my tutors told me on Wednesday when I was in college that she refuses now to go and preach in a church if there is no intercessory prayer. So heavy an emphasis does she place on it. And it's something we have got much better at as a church over these last 6 months, to pray for the world around it, around us. And we are commanded to give thanks in all circumstances. That word "in" is important. It would have been impossible for us to give thanks for evil. So it's not to give thanks for all circumstances. But even when there is evil, we can still give thanks that we have a God who loves us and cares for us, and who came and died on the cross to save us from our sins. And then verses 20 and 22 could well be entitled, "Listen to the Word of God." Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold them on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. If someone tells us they have a message from God, we should listen, is what we are told here. But importantly, we should not simply take it at face value. We should test it. There are many ways of doing this. If 6 different people come up to you or I and have received a similar message, then perhaps we can be fairly certain God has tried to say something to us. But we must still pray on it and ascertain that it is in fact God's word to us. One of the easiest tests is simply, does it feel right? So here is a slight checklist. Is it scriptural? If someone comes up to you and says, "God has told me to murder someone," and I know it's a slightly ridiculous example, we're going to say that it's almost certainly not from God, because we're told very clearly not to murder. Does the person bringing the message acknowledge Christ as Lord and Saviour? Does it fit within the gospel of Jesus Christ? Or does it seek to pervert it? And the character of the speaker is also important. Is their character known to be true? This can be seen as an argument for not accepting messages for the whole church from strangers. But certainly it needs to be carefully thought about. And finally, does it build up the church? Will this message have a positive impact? And if it fails any of those points, surely then it cannot be from God. But Paul argues for 2 requirements in worship: rejoicing and hearing the word, talked on and built upon. Throughout it all, though, the Spirit must be seen to be the true and unquestioned guide. Do not quench the Spirit, Paul commands in verse 19. And to that end, we must leave room for the Spirit to speak and move through us. So God calls us to be a community together that cares for each other, that rejoices together, and indeed commiserates and mourns together, and worships our Maker with thanksgiving and praise. To listen to the word of God through the Bible and prophecy, and always to rejoice in the Lord. So that is the challenge that we have for the weeks, months, and years ahead, to hold fast to the knowledge that God loves us more than we can ever know, and to rejoice in that love, and to spend time worshipping the Lord. Amen. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your message to us here, the challenges that it brings to rejoice in you always. We pray, Lord, that we would be able to do so, to rejoice in you in all we think and do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Paul now is going to come and lead us in communion.
We come to that part of our worship which is communion. Can I invite those that are going to share communion here, Lorraine and Richard and Martin, to go and wash their hands so we make sure we do this in a proper COVID-secure way. You'll have noticed, you may have noticed, I whipped her earlier on and washed my hands, and I've just gelled them too, although the communion that's served here will be served by those three lovely folk. You know, Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, said to his disciples, "I have longed to share this meal with you." Rejoicing in the Lord, rejoicing in his Father, he was in the midst of probably what can only be described as one of the most painful, if not the most painful moments of human history. And Scripture reminds us of that rejoicing. Jesus said to his disciples in John chapter 6, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Again, in Matthew chapter 11, he says this, "Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." All who love the Lord a little and long to love him more are welcome to share communion with us. If this morning you prefer not to do that, just let this pass you by. Your presence here blesses. At home, I invite you to go and get your bread and your juice, liquid, water, wine. Come to this table, not because you must, but because you may. Not because you're strong, but because you're weak. Come, not because any goodness of your own gives you any right to come. Just come because you need mercy and help. Come because you love the Lord a little and would like to love him more. Come because he loved you, loves you, and gave himself for you. Come and meet the risen Christ. We are his body. Let us pray. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open and all desires are known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. This table, friends, is a table where many things happen. It's a table of healing, literal physical healing, but also of healing of our relationship with our Lord. It is also a table where we can come in prayer, in those prayers of intercession Richard spoke about, and bring our concerns for individuals, for the world, to the Lord. So I invite you, in a moment of simple, quiet prayer, to come before your Lord with what he's placed on your heart. And if we all do that, then we will be praying those prayers of intercession to our glorious, amazing Lord. Come in prayer. Father God, I thank you that we can come before you in prayer. That you're not a far-off God that seems to remain silent, but the living Lord who knows his children, who answers their prayers. Lord, we bring before you our concerns for others. This morning in this church, we pray for those who are facing uncertainty and doubt and worry. Be their hope, their redeemer, their comforter, we pray. And we pray for the virus throughout the world, that Lord, you would give, you would bless with all that is needed throughout the world to beat the virus. And that as we share without thought of profit, or without thought of one-upmanship, that the whole world may be rid of this virus, and the whole world may see your act of loving kindness. Father God, we come before you this morning in our prayers, praying, feed your lambs. And Lord, bless us, we pray, as we are a blessing to others. In Jesus' name, amen. The Apostle Paul tells us of the institution of the Lord's Supper as he writes, "For I received from the Lord, which I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he gave thanks, he broke it, and he said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again.'" And so, in line with what Jesus himself did, we give thanks. Loving God, we praise you and thank you for your love shown to us in Jesus Christ. We thank you for his life and ministry, announcing the good news of your kingdom and demonstrating its power in the lifting of the downtrodden and the healing of the sick and the loving of the loveless. We thank you for his sacrificial death upon the cross, for the redemption of the world, and for your raising him to life again as a foretaste of the glory we shall share. We give you thanks for this bread and this wine, for the symbols that are used at home, symbols of our world and signs of your transforming love. Send your Holy Spirit, we pray, that we may be renewed into the likeness of Jesus Christ, formed into his body. This we pray in his name and for his sake. Amen. Jesus said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." I invite Martin, Richard, and Lorraine to come forward and just to share the bread among those that are here. You'll see it's already cut up, so that you can just take a piece and eat. Clearly, you don't need a mask on when you do this. Is that okay? But eat as you receive the bread, a sign that he died for you. The body of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've not already done so at home, we eat in remembrance of him. Friends, we're going to distribute the wine here before we drink together. The wine is in individual glasses, and we will drink all together when all have been served as an act that says we are one body. Jesus said, this is my blood, a covenant reminder. Take this in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your heart by faith with thanksgiving. We're going to distribute the wine here in the church. And so whether you are here in the church at NBC, or you're at home, whether you would normally come to this church or not, whether you've joined us online for the first time since this pandemic began, and I know many have, we are all one family under God. And you are part of our family. Our Lord died, gave his life and his blood as a sign of covenant, once and for all, and for all. And so we drink, thankful that Christ shed his blood for us, acknowledging that we are one in him. Amen. Let us pray. Your death, O Lord, we commemorate. Your resurrection, we confess. Your final coming, we await. Glory be to you, O Christ. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son. You brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, opened the gates of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit's light, whom the Spirit lights, give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so that we and all your children, the whole world over, shall be free, and the whole earth shall live and praise your name. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. Sometimes in life it's really difficult to see something, but our last hymn reminds us of a truth. The Lord's promises are good. Every week in this church, since we have entered this time of lockdown, we have declared God is still God and God is still in control. And we've declared it again just then this week. It is true, as true now as it was the very first week we went into lockdown, as it was a year ago, or 10 years ago, or 2,000 years ago. The battle belongs to the Lord, and we say yes and amen that our Lord is victorious. So come and worship with Sue as she sings, "The battle belongs to the Lord."
Brings us to an end of our service. Just a reminder that we have our prayer meeting tomorrow morning at the Hub from 9:30, going into a coffee morning, and then the same on Thursday from 10:30. So thank you for joining us, and then these words from Jude: "To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power, and authority, through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.
To leave a comment, please go to minehead-baptist.com/sermons. Well, thank you once again for listening, and I'll speak to you soon.